Namam Vishnupadaya Krishnapastaya Bhutalaya Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Somanitya Namane Namaste Sarasati Deva Grovani Pacharani Nirvisesa Sunivati Pasadada Sadarani Jai Srila Prabhupada. I'm feeling a little bit foolish because I understood this was going to be memories again, so I dredged up my mind for some memories, and then I found it was going to be a little bit more formal. So I'm not going to be here for this afternoon, so maybe I'll just give a few memories and then, you know, how Srila Prabhupada influenced my life. I had a friend who became a devotee. We were hippies together, and he became a devotee first. And then he made me a devotee, and he would go and tell Prabhupada what my behavior was like when I was a hippie and embarrass me. And Prabhupada just laughed. You know, he thought it was very funny, some of my anecdotes. So, but when I came to Krishna consciousness, I like to say that I was born in a family of demons. And, you know, to a certain degree that's true, because the knowledge of machinery actually is a demoniac science, and certainly automobiles are a machine. So, you know, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I had many, many bad habits, but somehow or other Srila Prabhupada accepted me just the way I was. And when I met him for the first time, I went to see him in Dallas, and I was offering my obeisances. I'd been reading his books and chanting for a while, and I offered my obeisances, and as I was getting up, he said, "So, you are Henry Ford's great-grandson." And I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." And he said, "So where is he now?" And of course, that immediately I was shocked, and it put me on the spiritual platform, and I went, you know, I was befuddled and everything. But I could see that he actually cut through so much of my illusion, you know, that, before I was thinking, you know, this is such a great man, and he did so many things, and he was so wealthy, et cetera, et cetera. But that's all finished with death. And that was one of the first instructions I received from Srila Prabhupada. And I had the great fortune, when I was first coming to Krishna consciousness, to be able to render some personal service for Prabhupada in purchasing houses for him in Hawaii and in Detroit, and places that he really liked to be. In Hawaii, he was very relaxed, and he had time to himself. It was a little bit off the beaten track. So he was able to do a lot of translating in Hawaii, and he really relished the climate and everything. And that was a great pleasure for me to be able to provide that service for him. And I took initiation from him. And, you know, at the time, like Amapati Maharaj was saying yesterday, I really didn't know what initiation was. But I knew who Prabhupada was, or I had an inkling of who Prabhupada was. And I wanted to be closer to him, and I wanted to be part of his movement, even though I didn't really know, I couldn't really understand the depth of his character, the depth of what, the strength and the depth of what he was trying to do or his mission, but I wanted to be a part of it, and I felt like being initiated was becoming a part of it. And, after I was initiated, I accepted Prabhupada as my, you know, ISKCON as my family and Prabhupada as my spiritual father. And, you know, I became very, you know, a bit estranged from my family because they were very conservative and they didn't like the idea that I was spending so much money, and my father would chastise me. And Prabhupada would hear about it and he would just laugh, you know. He would say, "Oh, you're just like Prahlad Maharaj." And so, you know, of course, I know that's not true, but anyway, I guess there was some parallel there. And we had a very, very wonderful relationship. I always felt very, very privileged to be with him and to do whatever service I could for him. And when I was, after we purchased the house in Detroit, I was there visiting with him one day, and he was describing this project that he wanted to do in Mayapur. And I'd never been to Mayapur. I didn't even know where Mayapur was. I've been to India, and my experience was not great back in 1975. I hadn't been to Mayapur. I didn't know what, you know, I understood it was a great place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was describing this temple, the Vedic planetarium, how it was going to present the science of the Vedas and the fifth canto. And the fifth canto, I think, just had come out. It was very mind-blowing because it was a complete affront to the modern scientific theory and acceptance, you know, of modern science. So, you know, he was describing the planetarium, and he asked me, he said, "So what do you think, Ambarish?" He used to call me Ambarish Maharaj. He said, "So what do you think?" And I thought, first of all, I thought, oh, boy, another trick question, because Prabhupada would do that. You know, he would ask me these questions, put me on the spot. So I said, "Well, it sounds like a very, very nice idea, Srila Prabhupada." And he said, "Okay, fine. You like it too, so you finance it." And so we all had a good laugh, you know, at the moment. But what I didn't realize was Prabhupada was planting the seed of what really became the driving motivation for the rest of my life. You know, I've continued to try to be of service to Prabhupada and the devotees since then. But always in the back of my mind, I was thinking, when are we going to build this temple? What are we going to do about getting this temple? Et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, now it's 30 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. And we're hoping at some point that we will be able to make Prabhupada's dream of the Vedic planetarium a reality, and we're working towards that. And it's certainly become the center of my life and the center of my consciousness, and it keeps me connected to Prabhupada every single day. I think about that. I think about that order. I think about Prabhupada, and I feel very intimately connected with him because of that. And, you know, because I'm a, you know, passionate person, a worldly person, Srila Prabhupada knew exactly how to engage each and every one of us according to our propensities. And, you know, according to my propensity, he was able to engage me in a project that for maybe some people would be overwhelming, but for me it's just another building, another big house for the deities to live in. You know, that's the way I look at it. I don't look at it as being something totally overwhelming. But yesterday, I can't remember, I think it was Vyasaki was talking about how Prabhupada loved us and was so compassionate about us and each and every one of us. And he knew who all of his disciples were. He had many, many disciples, but he knew who each and every one of them was. And he knew them intimately. And, you know, it was one of those situations where when you were with him, you knew that he knew exactly what you were like, both inside and out. You might try to hide things from him, but he knew exactly who you were and what you were all about. And he used to say that it cost me a pound of blood to make a disciple. So over the years, you know, I've taken that statement to heart, and the fact that Prabhupada loves and cares about each and all of us, whether we're initiated or not, if we're part of this movement, he cares so much about us. When he was on his deathbed, Govardhan, who was the temple president of Detroit, went to see him, and I didn't go back to India because the year before I had gone and I had gotten very sick and I was reticent to go. And I didn't really think that Prabhupada was going to leave his body, was going to depart. So Govardhan went into his room, and he's on his deathbed, and the first thing he says to Govardhan is, how is Ambarish? So this is the caliber of person that Srila Prabhupada was. He cared and loved his devotees so much. So when I hear about people, you know, I guess my message today is no matter what you go through, you should always stay with ISKCON. There's so many of Prabhupada's disciples that have left, and it used to break his heart when he would lose his disciples that would leave for this reason, that reason. There's so many disciples that have left and have gone off to do this or that or become discouraged or whatever. But ISKCON is the big boat. We're safe in this boat, and Prabhupada is the captain. And 30 years after his departure, he is still the captain of this boat. And if I have one thing to say today, I would say you should stick with ISKCON no matter what you have to go through. And Srila Prabhupada will carry us in this boat across all the dangers in the material world back to his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There you go.